I didn't really have one dramatic movie moment where everything changed. No perfect rock bottom scene, no angel choir, no before and after montage like you see in the movies. For me, it was slower. It was quieter. Almost boring. It was years of just being uncomfortable in my own body, in my own mind. Years of avoiding mirrors, sucking in that stomach, pretending I wasn't in pain. I was walking past reflective windows and pretending I didn't see myself. Man, I would avoid looking at myself. It was learning how to grab the towel just right so I didn't have to look down in the shower. It was breathing heavy from tying my shoes and telling myself, it's just allergies, it's just a long day. I'm just getting older. And then, one day, in the most ordinary way, it hit me. If I don't do something, this is just going to be my life. Not a phase, not a temporary rough patch, my life. The body that hurt, the mind that bullied me, the faith that felt either distant or just completely gone. So here's what this podcast is. This podcast is me deciding that this will not be my life story. This is my real day one. My genesis. Not the first time I tried a diet. Not the first time I said I'll start on a Monday. Not the first time I skimmed a Bible verse. This is the day I stop pretending I'm fine and start rebuilding in public. If you're a man listening to this who feels late, behind, broken, or just tired of your own excuses, I want you to hear this. You are not stuck with the current version of you. You are not locked into the worst thing you've ever done. You're not beyond being rebuilt. Welcome to Redeemed and Rebuilt. Let's start from the beginning. Welcome again. I'm not a coach. I'm not a philosopher. I'm definitely not a fitness model or some perfect Christian influencer. Far from it. I am just a man trying to do better. I'm a husband. I'm a dad. I'm a guy who has battled severe obesity, doubt, cancer, and shame. And still wants to become the man that God wants me to be. This podcast is my open journal. I'm not recording this from the finish line. I'm recording it right in the middle of the mess. And if you're in that same mess, in that same messy middle, then this is for you. All right. It's time to just lay it out. Who did I have this in mind? Or who did I have in mind when I decided to hit record on this thing? This is for the men who feel left behind. Guys who look around and think, everyone my age is further ahead than me. They're fitter, they're more successful, more disciplined, more whatever. It's for the men who feel late in life. Like maybe they missed the window. To get healthy, to get right with God, to repair broken relationships. Maybe to become who they always thought they wanted to be. It's for the guys who didn't grow up super churchy. Maybe you went to church as a kid. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you had a full-on atheist era like I did. I know I was brought up in the Catholic Church. I remember having to be drugged to church every Sunday morning with my mom or my dad, my aunts. And I remember thinking, what a bunch of hypocrites, what a bunch of nonsense. You hear the stories and the gossiping that goes on in and out of the church pews. That's all I chose to see. Maybe you watched the debates. You watched the Hitchens clips at 2 a.m. You thought, yeah, this guy makes sense. Logic felt safer than surrender. You didn't really see a lot of those Christians you wanted to be. Like I said, you saw hypocrisy. You saw judgment. You saw people talk about grace, but throw stones in the group chats. So you checked out. Maybe the surrealness of it, maybe the fantasy. How could that, all this be real? How could someone come back from the dead? How could someone, you know, do all these things, these miracles, turn water into wine? Of course they could do it back then. They were illiterate, virtually coming out of the caves. It's for the men who lost the weight and still don't like what they see. You did the diet. Maybe you're like me. You did the surgery. You dropped the pounds. And everyone around you said, oh my God, you look amazing. Oh my God, how fantastic do you look? But inside, you asked yourself, well, why don't I feel fixed? Why do I still hate what I see? Why am I still carrying the shame which felt as heavy as the weight I carried prior? This podcast, it's for dads, for husbands, for sons, for brothers who are trying to lead their families. Trying to lead their families while still rebuilding themselves and dealing with the guilt that comes with that. How can you be everything for everyone all the time when you're not everything for yourself anytime? You have your kids watching you. You've got a partner depending on you. You feel this pressure to be the rock. And some days you feel more like quicksand. Here's the key part of all of this. I wanted to record this in real time. Not after I made it, and I don't know if I'm going to make it. Maybe I'll make it so far. And that's okay. Maybe that's what progress is. I didn't want to come to you 10 years from now with some memoir or some self-help book that you pick up off the shelves and you read it and it just tells you to do these things. Just do this and all this will happen. But they gloss over 10, 15, 20 years of struggle. And then when you start applying what they want you to apply, the struggle starts. What happens? We abandon it. We quit. And we say, yeah, it's easy. Hindsight's 20/20. I wanted to start here. While I'm still figuring this out, still messing up, still learning how to follow Jesus, as awkward as it can be, still rebuilding my body with all the information that just inundates you about what's the right thing to do, what's the right thing to eat, what's the right workout, what's the right supplements. While I'm still rewiring my mind. One thing I know is if you're in the middle, you're not late. You're just where your story changes direction. People love to ask, so what was that moment that changed everything? I get why. We like that one clean story that this happened to me and boom, I'm reborn. I didn't have one. I always envied better. I watched people who were ahead of me, fitter, more put together, more disciplined, and something in me burned. I wanted to be that person. I always wanted more. I always want more. But I was too lazy, too ashamed, too scarred to start. It wasn't a moment. It was a buildup. A thousand tiny choices that kept me stuck. A thousand little lies I told myself. A thousand I'll start on Mondays. Until one day, the pain of staying the same finally got heavier than the pain of changing. I think that's when everything quietly started to shift. Not in fireworks, in a decision. The decision of, I just cannot keep living like this. Let's talk about the physical side. Because for a long time, that was the loudest part of my story. It was the most obvious part of my story. You could see it. Not only could you see it, you could see the reaction to it. Boy, when you're 500 pounds, you really get to see those eyes shift. Or the people fighting to not look. When your clothes don't fit, your pants don't stay up. Mine still don't stay up sometimes. When you're 500 pounds, that is a level of obesity that most people will never understand. It's not just, oh, I'm a bit chubby or I'm a bit out of shape. Man, I gotta do a bit more. No. When you're 500 pounds, I'm telling you, it's stuff like not being able to clean yourself properly and the shame that comes with that. It's needing the extra time in the bathroom because your body doesn't move the way it should. And you build your whole life around hiding facts like that. I would wait to come home if I was at work to use the washroom. Sometimes I'd wait till the end of the day if I wasn't home. It's avoiding the mirrors or only looking from the neck up. It's strategically choosing clothes that would help you disappear, dark, baggy everything. It's walking into a room and calculating, I don't know this for a fact, will this chair hold me? If I sit on that stool, is it going to creak? I remember one time I brought my wife to get her nails done, and I decided just to sit and have a coffee and wait for her. I sat on the couch at the entrance. I sat right through the couch. Must have been 11 o'clock in the morning, packed nail salon. I literally broke the couch to the ground. I became a yes man, not just because I was so easygoing, but because I hated confrontation. I hated the attention. When you're 500 pounds, your body feels like a spotlight. So I use my personality as the shield. I tried to be funny, likable, helpful, anything that would make people see something other than the fact that I was 500 pounds. But inside, I existed in a state of constant unhappiness. Not every moment, but there was a heaviness in the air around me that I carried everywhere I went. Breathing was heavy. Sleeping was harder. Walking up the stairs, that was an event. And every time I'd try something, a diet, a challenge, a new start, I'd go hard for a bit, and then I'd crash again. Each failure added another layer of shame, another brick in the wall between me and the life I wanted. Eventually, I'd hit an emergency. It wasn't the theoretical anymore. It was the medical. It was, if you keep going like this, your body is going to cash out. And I had tried everything. Like I said, every plan, every shortcut, every hack, nothing stuck. So I chose weight loss surgery. And I want to say this clearly. It was one, if not the best decisions of my life. I'm grateful I did it. I'm grateful it exists. But I'm also going to say this just as clearly. It was only a tool. Surgery fixed my stomach. It didn't fix my mind. It did not fix my spirit. The tool changed what I could eat. It didn't change how I saw myself. It didn't erase decades of shame. It didn't answer the deeper questions of who am I? Who am I really? And what am I here for? That's what this podcast is for. This is going to be the space where we work on the parts the surgery couldn't touch. Let's talk about faith for a bit. Because my journey here wasn't, I grew up in church, believed everything, never questioned a thing. There was a long stretch where I was deep into that atheist era. I came up in the heyday of it. The prime time of guys out there essentially preaching against preaching. I'd be up at 2 a.m. watching Christopher Hitchens and Richard Dawkins with their incredible eloquence. If there is anybody who could speak and debate in a way that could move a mountain, it was the late Christopher Hitchens. I'd be up at 2 a.m. watching Hitch, watching Richard Dawkins, all the secular thinkers dismantling religion. And honestly, if I'm being honest, they are and they were compelling. Logic felt safer than surrender. Arguments felt safer than trust. And to be honest, they are. And we'll get into this throughout these episodes. It is easier when you think about it than surrender. Arguing for the sake of arguing is easier than just letting go and trusting. That's the part about learning about finding faith again. Plus, I saw plenty of Christian hypocrisy that made me think, if that's what following God looks like, I'm good. So I built this identity of this guy who saw through it. I was proud of not needing God. But then life happened. Cancer entered the chat. And when you're sitting in that chair getting treatment, facing your own fragility, your own mortality, you're the tough guy. I've got it all figured out. Act. It starts to crack. Suddenly those big questions just aren't intellectual anymore. They're personal. You start wondering, if there is a God, where is he in this? Two battles of cancer. The second battle, I remember waking up from surgery for a feeding tube. I didn't just wake up normal. I woke up strapped to the bed with a breathing tube still in my throat. They couldn't remove it because of the damage and the inflammation that was caused from the radiation treatment. Folks, guys, little side note, preventable throat cancer has risen by as much as 78% in men. And I'm going to tell you that if you do your research and you look into it, the radiation treatment for head and neck cancer is the worst. I went weeks without eating, months without any eating or drinking. I was hooked up to a feeding tube that had to be on constantly. I woke up from that surgery and I look over. And who was there? My mother. This woman couldn't walk. Existed in an amount of pain that later on we realized why she was in so much pain. She was there. And that's when another earthquake came. I had lost my mother. And I was there witnessing when she passed. And that's the kind of moment you can't rehearse. You're watching someone you love leave this world. Everything in you is crying. In that moment, through the grief, there was this strange sense of peace. It didn't feel like she was just blinked out of existence. It felt like she was guided home. I couldn't fit that old, neat little anti-God. I couldn't fit that into it. Scratch. I couldn't fit that into my old, neat little anti-God arguments. And then the opposite side of the spectrum. Before all of this, and before I touch on this, I just want to say, losing the weight opened so many doors and opened me to things that I thought I would never have. One, I would have never caught the cancer because I probably wouldn't have felt the lump in my neck before it was too late. It would have been under maybe an inch of fat. The other was I ended up through many life decisions, many changes in life. We'll get into that. I was having the opportunity to have my girls. So in between cancer one and cancer two came the girls. Holding my daughters. All 3 pounds of them, seeing their faces, feeling the tiny weight of them in my hands for the first time. It was like Grace had a body. I remember thinking, there's no way that this is all random. Something in me softened, something in me woke up. Through all of these things, I started to sense a whisper. You can keep arguing with me if you want, but I've been here the whole time. That's what led me here. And this podcast is me learning how to believe again out loud. Not perfectly, not with any or all of the answers, but honestly. To make sense of this journey, I'm going to frame it through what I'm going to call the three pillars. Pillar one, mind. Because if the inner voice is toxic, if the story you tell yourself is always you're not enough, nothing else will work. Body. Because our physical health affects our confidence, our energy, our mood, our ability to show up for the people we love. And finally, spirit. Because I tried doing life without God, and eventually I've run out of answers. Every episode on this podcast is going to touch on one or more of these pillars. Some weeks we'll dig into the mind, overthinking, shame, mental health. Another, we'll talk about the body, weight loss, discipline, the realities of starting from behind. We'll talk about body dysmorphia in men and the struggle of when you get to what you think is where you want it to be, what happens after that? We're going to talk about that challenge that they don't tell you about. Another week, maybe we'll talk about the spirit, faith, doubt, prayer, how to pray, scripture, all the awkward, beautiful tension of learning how to walk with God. We will learn the difference, folks, of what it means to be Christian and what it means to be Christ-like. And there's something about that I think there's a huge difference. Well, that's the framework. That's how we're going to rebuild. So in this first episode, I just wanted to tell you how I got here. The broken parts, the pride, the shame, the cancer, the surgery, the atheism, and the moment, folks, the moment I finally said, God, if you're real, I'm listening. This is the origin story of Redeemed and Rebuilt. Let's zoom in a bit on a few key chapters of my life. Cancer. I'm telling you, when I heard the word cancer, it was like the air got sucked out of the room. I can remember sitting there. This was right in the middle of COVID. In the middle of the start of COVID, it was a disaster. I had just met my wife. She wasn't my wife. I think we were together for a month. I had gone for all the routine testing, and when you go for these testing, they all do their best to try to tell you, hey, don't worry about it. I'm sure it's nothing. 99% of the time, it's nothing. But was it nothing? And as impatient as I am, I got the results on my phone. Couldn't really make sense of them. Didn't really know much about ChatGPT to just plop them in there and have it read it. So I called the doctor and they call me back. Sure enough, it was cancer. Throat cancer. I just collapsed. And I remember the first thing telling my wife after being a month together was, nobody signs up for this. If you want out, I'll understand. Brothers, she's still here. Up until then, my body had been this ongoing frustration, but that day, that moment, it became a full-blown threat. And there's something about facing your mortality, especially for the first time, that strips away the comfortable lies. The things like, I'll get to it later. I have time. I'll change when life slows down. Suddenly later isn't guaranteed. And in the middle of treatment, I remember feeling this weird mix of fear and clarity. This sense that life was more fragile than I'd admitted. But also more meaningful than I allowed. The whisper of God for me started getting louder in those chairs through the fatigue, through the uncertainty, through the pain. Being present when my mom passed was one of the hardest, and I have to say maybe one of the holiest moments of my life. You're watching someone who gave you life take their last breath. Time feels different. The room feels different. In that moment, I didn't have all the right words. I didn't have some rehearsed prayer. But I had this deep sense that she wasn't alone. That God was in the room. That she was being received, not just gone. I think that did something to my unbelief. It didn't instantly turn me into a believer, but it did put a crack in the wall that I'd built. And then the twins. On the complete opposite side, the twins being born. When you hold your children for the first time, and I'm sure all of many of you guys listening to this know this, but sometimes we need a bit of a reminder. When you hold your children for the very first time, when you realize you're touching something you didn't create in your own strength. Yeah, there's biology, there's science. But as much as I denied it in the past, there is something profoundly spiritual about it. I remember looking at them thinking, if there is a God, he just handed me two reasons to take life seriously. They became walking, breathing reminders that life can't just be about numbing out, hiding, or just surviving. They became daily loud examples of grace. They became daily loud examples of grace. Grace that I didn't earn, and honestly, that I don't deserve. That's why it's called Redeemed and Rebuilt. Because I'm not a finished product. I am a man in process. Being redeemed, being rebuilt, one day at a time. There's a verse that kept circling in my head, even when I wasn't sure what I believed. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. At the time, I didn't feel close to God. I felt broken, crushed, tired, confused. But when I look back now, I can see he was close to me. In the hospital room, in the grief of losing my mother, in the joy and the terror of becoming a dad, in the quiet nights where I wondered if anything mattered. I wasn't holding on to him. He was holding on to me. So before we land this first episode, I want to tell you what to expect going forward. This podcast is not just me ranting into a microphone once. This is a journey I'm committed to. And here's what you can look forward to. Mind-focused episodes. We're going to talk about the harsh inner voice, anxiety, overthinking, self-sabotage, mental health, and practical tools for renewing your mind. Body-focused episodes. We'll get into weight loss, discipline, gym anxiety, starting over at 30, 40, 50 plus, what weight loss surgery really is, what now the oncoming of semaglutides do, and what they aren't, and how to build a body that can actually carry the life you want. We'll have spirit-focused episodes. We'll wrestle with doubt, talk about atheism, and coming back to faith, unpack scripture in a way that makes sense for guys like us, and talk about what it means to follow Jesus when you're not the perfect Christian. Some episodes will just be me, like this one, raw, honest, journal style. In the future, I'd love to bring on other men who are in the middle of rebuilding too, not just success stories, but in progress stories. I'd like to talk to pastors, mental health people, trainers, nutritionists, all local, not these famous people, but people that you and your community are going to reach out to. We're not going to talk to Joel Osteen or Peter Attia or Jordan Peterson. I want to keep it local. We'll also build in space for your questions and tools. I want to hear from you. I want this to be interactive. Have an eye out, folks. The website is going to go live at some point in the near future. There, you'll be able to sign up for the newsletter. You'll be able to provide comments, feedback, voice messages. I want to hear it all. I want to hear what you're going through, what's working for you, what isn't working for you. And then eventually, I want to share these stories at your guys' permission. Like I said, I want to hear from you what you're struggling with, what's working for you. Excuse me. Where are you stuck? Over time, I want Redeemed and Rebuilt to feel less like a show that you listen to and more like a brotherhood that you're part of. Not a perfect one. Not a perfect one, a rebuilding one. And if you're a man listening to this and you're in that messy middle, not the before picture and not the polished after, I want to invite you to stick around. We are going to talk about mind, body, spirit, especially when it's awkward and especially when it's uncomfortable. And we're going to rebuild slowly, imperfectly, but together. If something in this episode resonated with you, please share it with another friend of yours, another man you think needs to hear this, to hear that he has not gone too far to change. Follow the show. Leave a rating or a review if you're able to, not just for algorithm, but because it helps this message reach more men. Men who are where you are and where I'm at. And if you want to reach out, tell me your story, or ask questions we can tackle in the future episodes, again, I would love to hear from you. You don't have to do this alone. Thank you for spending this first real day one with me. Remember, every man deserves redemption, and every man can be rebuilt. This is Redeemed and Rebuilt. I'll see you in the next episode. Take care, brothers.